Once again here in Lexington, Kentucky at the 2015 All-Tech Revelation, Dr. Carl Dawson is standing here with me today, and he spends the morning in the beef breakout session, and the talk he shared with us was on antibiotics. Before we get to that, tell me a little bit about your background in the industry and what you do for All-Tech.
Okay, I'm the Chief Scientific Officer for All-Tech and one of their vice presidents. I have a long background in that I actually was a university professor for about 20 years before joining All-Tech. My specialty is microbiology, but I work mainly with the microbiology of the rumen or cattle stomachs. So that's my claim to fame, if you'd like. I worked at the University of Kentucky, as I said, for 20 years. It is a long process, but I actually joined All-Tech shortly after they became a company as a consultant, but became a member of the staff about 15 years ago. So.
I just got done talking with Becky, and it's so cool to see the years that you guys put into this company, the longevity of its leadership. So thank you for all that research and science and commitment to the industry. Antibiotics, one of the most controversial issues when it comes to animal agriculture and the beef industry specifically. Tell me what your message was to attendees when it comes to no more antibiotics in beef cattle.
Well, I try to point out a couple of different things. Really early on, the term antibiotic is somewhat controversial in itself. I prefer to talk a lot about antimicrobials. The use of antimicrobials has been around in livestock since 1940s, and it's something that we've used to address diseases, cure bacterial infections. But the most controversial part of that has been to use antimicrobials as materials to enhance growth or promote growth in livestock. And that goes not only for ruminant, the beef cattle, dairy cattle, also for chickens and pigs. So this is not just limited to one species. The big concern about using those right now has been the progressive change or selection of bacteria that resist the antimicrobial. So these superbugs, as they're being called, are organisms that develop resistance to many different antibiotics. And the thought process is that we're perpetuating that by feeding or continually to have indiscriminate use of antimicrobials in animal feeds. And that is a real process. It's been shown to happen. We know that it's out there. In the last 4 or 5 years, it's become a topic for the world as a whole, because they're recognizing that the antibiotics that are used in human medicine are becoming less effective. And this is one of the reasons, this selection process that's taking place. I'd like to point out that that is something that we should have expected. We actually knew that some of this was going to happen back in 1969 when the Schwann Report was issued in Great Britain. They pointed out that this process would eventually lead to the formation of these bacteria. Now, replacement of those or the banning of those applications, subtherapeutic applications, is going to change the industry. We have depended a lot on antibiotics to provide us an easy way to address growth problems, health problems, and those sorts of things. And so it's been kind of an automatic thing. If we lose that capability, it will change what we do in terms of managing our livestock, feeding our livestock, and all of those different components. So the message there is we're going to have to change our plans. There are alternatives, though. These may be other supplements, such things as direct-fed microbials or enzymes or plant extracts can be used in that. But they're going to have to be used strategically. We're going to have to stand back and think just a little bit. It's not going to be as easy as saying one size fits all, we're going to be able to fix this, as we have with antibiotics in the past. So it's going to be a thought process, a management process that has to take place, and we have to think about down the road. One other issue that we brought up, though, is that a simple ban may not be the total answer to our problem. The antibiotic resistance bacteria that are out there are there. They have been selected for, and we will not eliminate those by simply stopping use today. We looked at data in the past where we've looked at animals that have not received antibiotics. These bacteria don't disappear. They're still there. So in the long term, we have to start thinking about strategies that not only limit the development of these, but actually depress antibiotic-resistant bacteria and select against them. We would like to eliminate those. So the next strategies that come are going to have to look at methods for making antibiotics more effective and preventing the selection, but also decreasing the prevalence of antibiotic-resistant bacteria. And that's the big challenge for the next decade.
You just talk about the next decade, and you talk about long-term and short-term goals and everything in between. What's the timeline?
Well, the timeline for banning is 3 years. We're going to have that take place. Europe has already done it, and so that's already taking place. Yeah. Fixing the problem is probably a long-term, and I'm talking decades worth of time here. We can't just stop tomorrow and expect these bacteria to disappear. They're going to be with us for a long time. We have to learn to fight them, turn the tables on them if you like, get rid of those bacteria, and that will be the big challenge. And it'll take decades. It's not a short-term plan.
Reaction from the industry, from the producers, the pharmaceutical companies, the businesses out there that all have a stake in this type of decision. It's not new news that we heard today, what you shared, but reinforcing that, what's their response?
I think that the industry itself is responding very well. The plan to stop indiscriminate use of antimicrobials is something the industry has said is real. They're willing to take that out, and most of the reaction is going to be voluntary anyway. So we're going to look at more judicious use of antimicrobials. That does not mean we're going to eliminate them. We're still going to need those as tools for disease. We can't just stop tomorrow and prevent that. But we can change the way we look at them. Use the most effective processes or strategies to make sure the antibiotics are getting the job done. And there are ways to make that happen now, and that's what the story is today. How do we make that happen?
How do we make that happen? And the consumer perception is out there as well. How do we educate the consumer and keep them informed of the type of good forms of antibiotics versus the ones that are questionable?
Well, I think it's a matter of education overall. I think the industry, and I really have to say that the FDA has been very good at this. They have not come out and said, bang, you got this is all bad, stop it. They talk about judicious use of antimicrobials, and that's the term that has to be thought of. There's another term that's used in Europe right now, prophylactic use of antibiotics. Just going out and giving antibiotics because there may be a disease problem is not a good reason for doing that. So this prophylactic type of response can be stopped or eliminated. And I think if we get people to start understanding that part of the issue, they'll understand where we're going with this in the future. It's going to be a natural thing. We're going to talk about eliminating growth promotion. It's coming off labels in the next months, literally. And the industry is going to do that. But it is a process of saying, look, we have this problem. We're going to solve it and moving forward. The industry has been very good at responding to that. They're going to have to be.
Well, thank you, Dr. Dawson, for sharing your expertise in the industry and bringing wise words to the attendees here at Altec's Revelation. Once again, talking with Dr. Carl Dawson, Vice President and Chief Scientific Officer for Altec here at Altec's Revelation in Lexington, Kentucky. I'm Jamie Johansson.